welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We are a chatty crowd today. My name is Jenna. If we haven't met, I'm the executive pastor here at Awaken. Wow, lots of cheering going on today. Now I don't know what I'm saying. I'm the executive pastor here at Awaken. Welcome to you if you are visiting or new. We are really glad you're here. If anyone is interested in connecting at Awaken, finding out more, you can go online and fill out a connection card. Someone from our staff will contact you. We'd love to take you out for a beverage of your choice, a walk, a Zoom call, kind of whatever you're comfortable with, and get to know you a little bit more. For those who give, any tithes and offerings can be given online. And then I just have a couple things to let you know about happening this month. So first, on October 23rd, Mel and the artists are hosting a wine and painting night. So our own Jenny Klukin will actually be hosting that. You'll be working with acrylics. You'll be drinking some wine if you want. Otherwise, you can have some water. That's great, too. There will be non-alcoholic options as well. So you can register. I think it's by October 16th, and we would love to have you for that. That'll be in the basement downstairs. Next week is Discover Awaken. So for those of you, especially if you're new, this is a great way to hear in an hour, like, the story of Awaken and why we do what we do, and get to know some other new people. So that'll be happening, again, next week after the second gathering. Lunch will be provided. We are going to try to do that outside. So if you're interested in that, you can register by October 7th on the website. And then finally, just a last push for our learning lab that starts tonight. So periodically through the year, we explore different topics together. Sundays in October, we will be exploring mental health and spirituality. So that will be via Zoom. I think it's at 6 p.m. You can go onto the website and still register today, and we'll send you that Zoom link. So that is all I have for you. Couple things this morning. We have the privilege of hearing again from Pastor Judy Howard Peterson. So she was with us through September a couple times, and she's back today. So we're very excited about that. But before we do that, I'd love to invite Laura up to read the scriptures.
Good morning. This morning I will be reading Acts 1, 1 through 8. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days, after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not yet for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Good morning, Awaken. Always, if I get to come back three times, I mean,
happens so rarely. So it's so good to be back, see some familiar faces. I don't know if any of you had a chance to listen to Pastor Micah's sermon from last week, but it was so good. And I mean, I'm always a little partial to a sermon that can take you through the whole Bible and have it be just the first point of the message. And I have attempted this a few times. My sister-in-law, when I do this, calls it the Jibble, the Judy Bible. And now I have a Mibble, Micah's Bible, which is so great. Pastor Micah, in doing the whole scriptures in one point, followed a thread from Abram to Moses, from Israel to the prophets, from John the Baptist to Jesus, to the disciples, the Holy Spirit, to the church, and to us. He said, this is the great story of God. And it is held together by a continuous thread, he said, of God sending God's people on God's behalf. Sendings that were all meant to be tied together by a common thread, a commission, a commission to bless the world. And even more specifically, a commission for those who follow Jesus to bless the world in a specific way, by loving it. And in this way, rightly representing the God whose name is love. Pastor Micah reminded us that we're in a relationship with a God who co-missions us. For as Micah said, how will the world know that God is love if we don't proclaim it? And how will the world know this love story matters if we don't live like it does? God sends us. God co-missions with us. And these are the words that have caused people from the beginning of the story of God to set out on journeys without a map, like Abram. To lead an exodus into a wilderness, like Moses. To stand up to the powers that be, like the prophets. To preach good news to people they didn't even like Jonah. To pave the way for Jesus, like John the Baptist, to lay down their life for the world, like Jesus, to empower people for the work of God, which is what happened with the sending, the co-missioning with the Holy Spirit, to go into all nations to make disciples, like the church has done from the beginning of its co-mission with God. God sends us. God co-missions us. These are powerful words. Words that have set people and movements in motion throughout history. And as Micah proclaimed last week, we too are meant to be a movement that would go to the ends of the world and the ends of the earth with blessing and love. And there are glorious glimpses of such a thing happening. Glorious glimpses of this co-mission throughout history. And in a previous preaching life, I would have jumped right into some sort of like moving story in the hopes of compelling you to get a move on in this commission. But before I continue this morning, I want to take a different tack. I want to acknowledge that the commission has actually not always been very glorious. That we as a people of God have often failed to be what we were meant to be, and it's been inglorious. From Abram all the way to the present day, the people of God who were meant to bless the world in the name of love have often failed to do just that. The biblical list of the failed to is actually very long. It includes murder and sexual assault and genocide and the abuse of power and arrogance and supremacy and slavery. The historical list of the failed to for the people who were meant to love, of the tragedies committed in the name of God by the people of God who believed they were sent by God, it's long too. It includes the Crusades and colonization, the genocide of indigenous people, the transatlantic slave trade, Jim Crow, the Holocaust, all people who believed they were co-missioning with God. The contemporary list of how the people of God, have failed to bless the world the way we were meant to continues to be written. Mass incarceration and the death penalty. patriarchy, misogyny, and the marginalization of sexual minorities, war, climate degradation, racism, exploitative capitalism, putting on our Sunday best and then being the absolute Monday through Friday worst. Hateful, spiteful, mean-spirited posts on a mission from God. Power-hungry people who bite and devour even their own on a mission from God. And so much of it done just in the name of God. The honest look at the list of how the church, or those who self-identify as sent by God, has failed to be a blessing and instead been a curse is catastrophic. Which is why, before I seek to rally you to be the mission, I want to invite us to sit quietly and consider the failures. To consider some of the catastrophic consequences of God's people losing the thread of blessing and love that is meant to tie the whole story of God together and mend the world. I want us to do this not to be a downer, but because I want us to be sent. Not only with an excitement about the fact that we actually do have a co-mission with God, but with an honest humility that what we do in the name of God is actually of no small consequence. And that while what we do in the name of God has the potential to be woven into the greatest love story that has ever been told, we would be extremely naive if we did not acknowledge the possibility of great harm if we, the people of God, lose the thread of the love of God. So I invite you, before I jump in to the fullness of this sermon, to close your eyes for a moment so that you're without distraction best you can, and to consider these questions. Go ahead and close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Where have you seen harm done in the name of God? To whom have you seen harm done in the name of God? Has harm been done to you in the name of God? I am so sorry. As a follower of God, have you caused harm to someone else? It would mean a lot if you could say sorry. Has a movement you have been a part of been less than the dream of God? God, we acknowledge that what the sent people of God were meant to be, they often failed to be. God, we acknowledge that we, as the sent people of God, have often failed to be what we were meant to be. We confess that all too often we have lost the thread of love. Lord, in light of this very, very honest assessment, help us not give up on the co-mission. But, oh Lord, could you help us pick up and hold on to that thread of love that you have designed to thread through our lives in order to mend the whole world. Amen. Last week, Pastor Micah boldly said, "It is very clear from Scripture that coming to church is not the end game, that leaving the church is the end game." This is a bold statement when most churches spend most of their time on attractional ministry, getting people to come to church. And if this is the case, we'll probably unpack in all of our dirty laundry in the first little bit. It's probably not a super great idea. But, Awaken, while we are glad you are here, we are wanting the focus of this community to be missional and not just attractional. To have more people who identify with the mission of going out than those who identify as somehow being in. Now, lots of people, when I say that, then say, well, what are we going out to do? But I would argue that a missional life It doesn't always include a specific mission, but rather recognition that our lives are a mission. You are a mission. They are not your mission. You are a mission. I am a mission. You are a mission. They are not our mission. You and I are the mission of God to love the world. Our lives are the mission to love the world. Some of you have been waiting for the specifics. But you do not need a specific date or time or thing to make a reasonable run at sharing God's love with the world. I mean, there might be specifics. But when we have been commissioned by God, it is a way of life. It is not an event or a project or a person. Last week, I traveled to Texas with my husband. It was the first airline trip we've taken together in 18 months. And we used to travel together about 30 times a year. And, you know, we got good at that. Oh, my gosh, there is some whole new relearning to do. Stamina for traveling together. The first airline trip we took, my husband works at United Airlines and loading and losing your luggage, I often say. And when we are traveling for fun or leisure, we often use his benefits, which means we can fly standby on the flights. And the glamorous part is that we have to wait for an open seat, which means we often spend a lot of time in airports waiting for a seat, going from gate to gate, hoping we can get an open one. And I actually find it very difficult to remember that I'm co-missioning with God at airports. There is so much anxiety. There is so much pushiness. There is so much frustration, so many germs, so much closeness, so much grossness at the airport. You know, everything that comes with lots of people who don't know one another, being in a small space and high anxiety. And now there are masks and social distancing and even more suspicions about who believes what and who is behaving in which way and why. Commission. On the last leg of our trip home, I sat next to a woman who was flying up from Florida to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to bury her brother-in-law's ashes. She told me he died from COVID-19. She told me he'd been unvaccinated. I told her I was sorry for her loss. But in truth, I was immediately suspicious about her vaccination status. And I had to remind myself that judgy, anxious people often lose the thread of love. And so I intentionally lowered my shoulders. I intentionally took the tongue off the roof of my mouth. You all should do that right now. Hoping my body would remind my spirit to relax. And I said the prayer that I say more than any other prayer. Oh, God, let me love them more than I want to convict them. Oh, Lord, let me love them more than I want to convict them. In the next minute, she mentioned that she and her husband had actually been vaccinated as soon as it was available. I told her the same was true for me, and our shoulders both stayed down. She then mentioned that she was an evangelical, and my tongue shot back up to the roof of my mouth. My shoulders did a quick reverse. And I quickly remind myself that I am a mission of blessing and love. I'm not a mission of suspicion and fighting words. I prayed a quick prayer that no matter what, again, I would be able to love her more than I would want to convince her of anything. She continued the conversation saying that she was shocked by how many of her evangelical community had bought into conspiracy theories and believed that the vaccine was a mark of the beast. I sighed. I wondered where the love was in all of that. I told her I actually wasn't surprised at all that the Christian community broadly is very prone to believing conspiracy theories because as Christians, we're very primed to believe unbelievable things, which I mentioned when I was here a few weeks ago. We do believe unbelievable things. We are primed to believe unbelievable things, like the God that God put on skin and came to walk with us, or the resurrection of the dead. These things are not believable, and I believe both of them by faith. She asked if I was an evangelical. I assured her I did love Jesus. But she said, but I said to her that she would likely consider me a total liberal. because I believe that Black Lives Matter. I'm seeking to be anti-racist. I want to end mass incarceration and the death penalty. I don't want anyone to have an abortion, but I am pro-choice legislatively because legislating it has never decreased the number of abortions. It's only increased the harm to women. And that I believe that being saved isn't about hell. And I said all of these things in one breath, punctuated very quickly with, I don't believe any of this because I don't believe the Bible, but because I do. She was perhaps a bit taken aback, but she didn't seem too freaked out, although I couldn't really tell because all I could see was her eyes. But I thought I saw her shoulders stay down. She followed up with, but it is hard when the Bible is clear that homosexuality is an abomination, which she said she wrestled with because her niece was a lesbian and she wished she knew God loved her. I assured her homosexuality isn't an abomination, even according to the Bible. And I told her she should just tell her niece she loves her very much, and so does God. We were both quiet for a moment, which I'm sure my seatmates appreciated. And then I asked her if she had given all of her money to the poor. Her shoulders went up. Don't worry, I said me either. But what it means is that even if it was what the Bible said about homosexuality, which it isn't, it's clear that we know how to override the biblical text when we want to. I told her that I thought the God who is love would want us to override any interpretations that left people doubting God's love. I remind her that as a Christian, we believe at the end of our life we will all stand before God. And the Bible says we're all going to be wrong when we do. There will not be one righteous, not even one. Yet it's going to be all right because of Jesus. And since we're all going to be wrong, at least about some things, I told her I figure it's mostly about deciding which ways we want to be wrong, not whether or not we're going to get to be all right. I told her that when I stand before Jesus, if he raises any concerns about me being loving too liberally, I am simply going to say in my defense, well, I just did try to love the whole world. And I don't know, maybe I was too liberal, but if you didn't want me to love that way, perhaps when you put on skin to come and walk with us, you shouldn't have loved so liberally and invited us to follow you. It's confusing. As we were coming in for a landing, I told her again that I was sorry for the loss of her brother-in-law. I told her I would be praying for her and for God's presence to be felt in the midst, in, around, above, and through all the grief and loss. She told me that she was pretty sure that he had prayed the prayer. I told her I wouldn't worry about it too much because of Thomas. Thomas, she said. Yeah, I said, you know, Thomas in the Bible who couldn't believe until he saw Jesus for himself. And so Jesus just came through the locked door and said, oh, is this what you need? You needed to see me? And you know, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said, I'm pretty sure if somebody needed to see in order to believe that Jesus just walks through that locked door of death, I wouldn't worry too much, I said. I saw her take such a deep breath. We exited the plane together, and I had a brief chance to offer my condolences to her husband on the loss of his brother. And as I was walking away, I heard her say to him with total delight, as if she had encountered a rainbow unicorn for the first time, she is a Christian, and she's totally liberal. See, if I had sat down in that seat thinking she was my mission, I think it would have gone really differently. But see, I am a mission. I am a mission to show as much love as possible to this world. And everything goes differently when I remember they are not the mission. I am the mission. When we realize that we are the mission, people sent to make a reasonable run at representing the God who loves the whole world, who came to bring good news of great joy for all people. Oh, man, if we understood that we are the mission, rainbow unicorns would abound. Nobody wants to be your mission. Nobody wants to be our mission. But there are lots of people who will leave an encounter with us feeling blessed and fed and liberated and cared for and delivered and embraced and tended to and empowered and absolutely, totally, and utterly loved when we recognize that we are a mission. That we are meant to represent a God who blessed us, fed us, liberated, cared for us, delivered us, embraced us, tended to us, empowered us, and downright just loves us. You and I are being sent to continue the thread of blessing the world on God's behalf. A thread that began with Abram is meant to thread through the needle of our lives so that we can help mend the world in the same ways that Jesus mended the world. Which brings me finally to our scripture text for today. It is found in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, which I believe provides some critical details for those who were being and for those of us who are being sent out into the world as a mission. Acts 1, 1 through 8 says, begins this way. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Man, I just saw this for the first time. Hang on one second. Okay, I'm not even kidding. It says that Jesus was doing all of this stuff through the Holy Spirit. That's so curious. Anyway, okay, later. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Okay, this unbelievable thing has happened. He said, look, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Okay, I don't even know how God resists flooding the earth again, mostly. But how Jesus put up with the disciples is a miracle. Because for 3 years, he has told them there is a kingdom and it isn't Israel. We're going to lay down our lives. We're not going to pick up our power. I mean, he's been doing this nonstop for 3 years in every single way he can think about it, with sheep and leaves and stories of prodigals and lost coins and all this sort of stuff. And they're like, okay, now that you are dead and like raised back to life, is now going to be the time that you restore the kingdom of Israel? And I just want to note our tendency to want power and domination is so ingrained in us that even when we spend that much time with Jesus, it's a sneaky bugger. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This morning, before you consider the co-mission of God to love the world, I'd like to briefly just highlight a few patterns I believe this passage invites us to consider. There is a work that Jesus began to do, verse 1. That he is inviting those of us who identify as his followers to continue. It's Jesus' work, and he began it, and we are going to continue Jesus' work. And this work will be done in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is meant to bear witness to Jesus. You will be my witnesses. This work will be done as my witnesses. Our co-mission is meant to bear witness and complete the work of Jesus. We are being sent out into the world to be Jesus' representatives. We are not being sent out to be denominational representatives. We are not being sent out to be a particular political party's representatives. We are not being sent out to bear witness to a particular interpretation of the biblical text. Our witness is not primarily to a race, an ethnicity, a platform, a nation. Jesus says, I'm sending you out to be a witness to me. My witnesses. Now, this is in some ways is really simple. If you can't imagine Jesus acting in a particular way, then as Jesus' representatives, don't act that way. In the name of Jesus. This is actually not that complicated. And the truth is that you don't need to even have much biblical knowledge or go to church or even be a Christian to actually discern the ways of Jesus. You don't. If I went over to the Twin City Marathon today and I asked a random group of people, did Jesus rob, kill, or destroy, or did Jesus bless, bring life, and build up? 100%, I bet everybody gets. If I went over and then I asked them, did Jesus include the outcast, care for the downtrodden, and love his enemies, or did Jesus exclude, trample down, or issue a call to war? I don't care who I ask. I think they know the answer. Did Jesus love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God, or was Jesus unmerciful, indifferent to injustice, or an arrogant jerk? Again, I think it would be the rare person who couldn't tell me the correct answer. They might not know anything about the Bible. They know nothing about the Christian faith, but like, well, I at least know this about Jesus. We are to be witnesses to the life of Jesus, and it's not that hard to figure out how to do that, but it's really hard to live it out, which is why we play dumb, or why we try to make it more complicated, because it gives us an out. But it's not complicated. It's just life-consuming. We are to be witnesses to the life of Jesus, and I would argue that anything in the life of the church or in the lives of those who are sent out in the name of Jesus, anything that does then not bear witness to who Jesus was, the kind of life that Jesus lived, the ways that Jesus walked, and the work Jesus began, if we do anything less than this in the name of Jesus, I would argue that we're bearing false witness. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen because we're human, but we really should own it when it does, because it really helps heal the harm when we can say this was not done correctly. A simple story. I was once on an errand to get Halloween candy, which at the church I was serving at the time, they called it fall festival candy, you know. Come on. Okay. I was going to get my fall festival candy. And for the youth event, and I was late, and the cashier was slow, and there was a price check, and I was super rude. And I grabbed my fall festival candy, and I marched out to the car so I could go bless people. Again, this is what happens when we believe we have a mission rather than understanding that we are a mission. We can be a jerk every time we're not at the mission. But when you are a mission, you don't get to be a jerk in the middle. I got halfway to the car. I knew that I had been an ass. And if you give people a survey about whether or not Jesus was an ass, I'm pretty sure 100% of the people would be like, well, I know he rode one, but he wasn't one. So I put my fall festival candy in the car, I went back to the store, I waited in the same line again, and when I got to the register, I could see the cashier brace herself. I said, I'm sorry I treated you that way. I was wrong. I know I was, especially because God has been so gracious with me. You deserved better from me. I just wanted to let you know that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if every time we're inconsistent, every time we bear false witness, can you imagine what would happen in this world if we were the people that were known for saying, we're sorry, we were wrong, and we know we were, especially because we claim to be Jesus' witnesses. You deserved better from us. We wanted to let you know that. Apologies can be a really profound way to bear witness to Jesus, too. It's also easier said than done. Which is why Jesus says in our passage, before you go out on this co-mission in my name, I'd like you to just wait for a second. Wait for my spirit to inhabit you. I know many in the church, and in particular denominations, place a great emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many believe that just like the ritual of water baptism, that it is an event that happens in your life where you receive the Spirit, one and done, you are full up, and now you can go. But can I invite you to consider that life with Jesus and life filled with the Holy Spirit is less of an event and more of a continual immersion? As we immerse ourselves more and more in the life of Jesus, as we wade ever deeper into the waters of actually living a life that bears witness to the ways of Jesus, I believe the Spirit of God will continually wash over us in new and fresh ways. Empowering us, we'll make the move towards Jesus, and then it comes. We make the move to empty ourselves of our resentment, it comes. We make our move to go to a place where we feel inconvenience, and it comes. Empowering us, prompting us, counseling us, comforting us, sending us as a mission of God to continue the work of Jesus who came because God wanted the whole world to know they were loved, to be good news of great joy for all people. Every time we're prompted, to empower someone, to step in, to maybe offer counsel or comfort. Each time we realize we've been an ass and we make a U-turn and go back, each time we realize our tongue is stuck to the roof of our mouth and we're ready to be agitated and anxious and fighty, every time we do this, I feel like the Holy Spirit is like, okay, let's go. And the power of the Holy Spirit joins you in this co-mission that really is impossible without some help. And if you're not quite there, if the thread of love in you is frayed, or if being good news of great joy for all people is a little bit of a sticking thing for you, if it's rare in your life, as rare as like a rainbow unicorn, I want to invite you to wait before you just go out there witnessing in the name of Jesus. I know in the church we don't often say to those who are eager to carry the name of Jesus into the world to wait. But if you aren't quite ready to live the life of Jesus out in the world, if you currently do not have enough power to pull that off or enough humility to apologize when you don't, if you don't have what comes from what comes when we regularly immerse ourselves in the presence of God, there is no judgment here. There is no judgment. But I'd invite you to consider waiting so that there will be less harm in Jesus' name out there. But this is not a passive waiting. It's a formational waiting, an active wading, W-A-D-I-N-G, into deeper waters of Jesus' life and practices. No one magically or in an instant, no matter what you learned in evangelicalism, raises their hand and is changed. Jesus is working in us and forming in us over the length of our life good news of great joy for all people. This is work, and it's full of intention. Intention that is absolutely fueled by a longing to see that thread of blessing and love thread through the needle of your life and start mending the world. This morning, if there are those of you here who have perhaps grown weary of doing missions, like you can't volunteer anymore, but you are compelled by the thought that you might be a mission, like your life might be a mission of God to love the world, I'd like to pray for you today that you would find such joy in being a mission. And this morning, if there are those of you who know you should wait because you know you do not currently have the power to pull this thing off, you cannot pull off this kind of love right now in your life, I would like to pray for you too. I'd like to pray that you would be open to the possibility that God might have more of God's self for you. Wait, because you too are a mission. But you might want to be immersed a little longer before you head out. I'm going to pray for you, for these two primarily groups of people. And as I pray, if you really sense like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do a mission. I want to be a mission. If you're like, I can't have one more person say they are the mission. Me too. But if you're like, I want to be a mission, then I'm going to invite you, not right yet, but I'm going to invite you to stand because I would like to have eye contact with you, and I just want to give you courage. Like, we are a mission. Rainbow unicorns, unite. And if you're the person that's like, you know what, I just can be honest that I'm not there, no judgment. I have days like that too. Then on those days, I sit with my hands, I stay home. I try not to text anybody. I try not to hurt anybody. I try to do no harm. And I leave my hands open, and I'm like, God, I would need more of you to pull this off. So if that's where you're at, I'm just going to invite you as I pray. I'm going to look at you too. You don't have to look at back, but I'm going to look at you too. And that you would just pray that perhaps, who knows what God would do, right? So I'm going to pray for you, and if you'd like to stand, if you're like, I think I want my life to be a mission, and I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm just going to have eye contact with you as I pray. Go ahead. God, rainbow unicorns. God, we come to you today. we confess we do not want to do one more mission. We do not want to reduce one more person to a mission in our life. Oh, but Lord, could we be a mission? Could we, in an hour from now with our waitress, could we be good news of great joy? God, tomorrow with a coworker, a colleague, could we be love to our enemies, to those we're tired of, to the gross people in the airports? Can you help me be a mission? In my weariness, in my grieving, in my hopelessness, in the despair that nothing could ever change, could you help us be a mission? Would you thread through our needle of our lives, and would you be with these people right even today that they might sense that they are part of the mending of this world? And God, for all those with hands open that are like, I'm so tired. I am so out of love. I do not have one more love to give. God, I just pray that right now that you would fill them with your love, that you would let them know that they are one of your favorites, just like everybody else, that you would give them pieces of yourself so that they would begin to be filled up with love. Be with them in the waiting. It's not the end of the story. This is just the waiting. Help them wade into the deep waters of you. May they experience your spirit as it comes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as we end, it will be a little bit different today than we usually end. If I'm being totally honest, it was hard to figure out at what point in the gathering do we put this part. But we want everyone to be informed and in the know kind of what's happening right now in the life of Awaken. So Donna Albinson, who's on our pastoral advisory team, is going to give us an update on the denomination we're a part of. For those of you who are new, welcome to the family.
Thank you, Jenna. What a joy to be here today and just to listen to Judy and to the music. I hope you'll just be sitting in that as I share with you this morning. As she said, my name is Donna Albinson, and I do serve on Awaken's pastoral advisory team, which we call the PAT. In 2018 and 2019, I also served as the PAT representative on Awaken's task force that put together an inclusion statement that we call Freedom in Christ statement. You can find it on our website under the About tab in the section on inclusion and welcome. Our congregation approved our Freedom in Christ policy at our annual meeting in 2019. Our Freedom in Christ policy is rooted in the Pietist tradition of our denomination, where we find unity in our shared life in Christ, not in a list of doctrinal stances. At Awaken, we like to say we focus on wells, not on fences. Regarding inclusivity at Awaken, we believe that all people are born with essential dignity and intrinsic value that comes from being made in God's image, and are equally capable of experiencing God regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Therefore, we welcome and invite LGBTQ plus persons to participate at all levels of our church life, including having weddings performed by our pastors. Our policy on weddings is at variance with the policy of our denomination. Recently, both of our pastors have performed same-sex weddings in alignment with our policy and with the full support of our PAT. In fact, throughout the process, our pastoral advisory team has given advance notice of our policy and the upcoming weddings to our denominational leaders. Their response was to begin a denominational discipline process. The members of our PAT felt disappointed by this result or in this response, but we were not surprised. We have been preparing for this. We would have preferred dialogue, rather than such a heavy-handed approach by our leaders. Our Pat has entered a time of discernment, asking the question whether Awaken should remain and be a voice of change or leave and be free to be who we want to be. Tomorrow night at 6:30, we have scheduled a Zoom meeting to discuss the situation in more detail and to give you the opportunity to ask questions and share your input on this question. I will also be available in the gallery after the service today if you would like to discuss this further. You can also find the Awaken email for Art Morrow, who is our PAT chair, on the Awaken website, and email Art to ask questions or to set up a time to have a phone conversation with him. So please be in prayer at this time that the Lord would change the hearts and minds of our denominational leaders as we stand for freedom in Christ and for inclusion. And we invite you to remember that at Awaken, we believe how we treat one another is more important even than what we believe. In this process, we have the opportunity to model our way of treating one another to our denominational leaders by treating them with respect and dignity. Let's take a moment and pray. Holy Father, the one who sees all and knows all, we come to you with this on our hearts. We love you, and we want to love all people, even those we don't see eye to eye with. Help us to walk this journey with you as our guide. Protect our hearts and minds, and guard our actions that what we say and do will reflect your heart and our faith and hope in you. May we be a force for good and for change in both our denomination and the world. Open our eyes to see you at work among us and give us courage and compassion and hope as we see you at work. Show us how you are inviting us to join you. And please pour out your peace on us that we can be bearers of peace to others. Amen.
Jenna had said, do you think that kind of robs the flow, you know? And I said, well, I don't know, like lots of times I'm heading to the car and that's how the Holy Spirit works. I pray the holy disruptions you continue to see as opportunities to consider how you want to love, who you want to love, how expansive you want that to be. Can I invite you to stand and receive this benediction? May the God who loved the whole world so much that they simply couldn't stay away, so they put on skin to come and walk with us in the person we know as Jesus the Christ. May this God now go with you as you go on your way. May this God go before you to guide you into a life that is a mission of love from God into this world, a mission that does no harm to any of God's beloved humans. May God go behind you to encourage you to fearlessly acknowledge harm as a way to weave our world back together in love. May God be above you to watch over you, pouring out his Spirit upon you in a shoulder-lowering, deep breath-taking, past-confessing, forward-moving, whole-world-loving sort of way. May God go beside you to be your most intimate traveling companion. May you walk close enough to Jesus that Christ could whisper to you, these are my ways. Walk in them. And may God go within you to give you the peace that passes all understanding. This is a peace that makes no sense at all. A peace that comes when together we hold on to the threat so that God, through us as a mission, can weave this world back together again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go in peace.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com. or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity.
Or on Twitter, awakencommunity.
See you next time.